Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
My name is Andy.
And I am Alistair Giorgio Williamo Trombley Birchall.
That's right. You legally changed the accent of your two middle names at the birth, deaths, and marriages.
I made my middle names fake Italian.
I wanted to have a sketch of that. You know, I once had an idea for a sketch that you go around to somebody's house and they're like, hey, before you come in, just want you to know that my dad is a fake Italian.
I think we did. We started writing that.
We started writing it. We tried to pitch it to John Conway. He was very uncomfortable about it. I don't know why. Yeah. It was back when we did the My Sandwich show. Remember that?
Yeah.
We realized that we should have called it Club Sandwich, and then we stopped doing it. You know, just when we hit on a really good name.
Yeah, Club Sandwich.
You got to do a few shows. Like, I think we did four shows. Yeah. To diminishing audiences.
Sure. But at least nobody could hear us. That was, I think, one big thing of that show. It was very difficult to hear us.
Was the audio, I think, the acoustics were not good at that place?
I think it's a huge room and we weren't mic'd most of the time.
Yeah, but I mean, there weren't that many audience members to, like, this. There was a lot of sound per audience member to go around. I'm not sure how sound works, but like volume per capita would have been abundant.
I have a feeling they just sat really far away because they were already, even before the show started, they were already feeling a bit embarrassed for us.
Yeah, that's a good place to come from, I think, like a position of pity. Early on, before you even start. Would this work? Could you have like a series of like funnels along the front of the stage, right? And then pipes that go out to all the tables. And the audience members put the pipes in their ears and you talk and the sound.
Or can and string?
Can and string, right? Each table has a little can on a string.
Is that the warmest of the sounds for the telephone sounds?
What do you mean the warmest?
Like, you know, like kind of like a record. It's sort of like it's like a cleaner sound, but it's also got a warm feel.
Yeah, because it's an older style technology.
But I think also it takes away, like, you lose something from the digitization. Same thing with once you turn the voice into a signal
on a wax disc or whatever it is, you know, to make a record, you know, you're losing something. The truest, warmest sound, it's so warm, it's hot sound. You get from a can and a string.
Yeah. It's the taut string. Obviously, got to go good quality string.
It's got to be pretty taut. It's got to be, We're talking a pretty taut string. Yeah.
So this is it's a live show where everybody listens. Are they not in the room, or do they all? It's just so that you don't have to project.
Are they not in the room? Yeah, I mean, like, I suppose it could have been like they had the wireless radio, right? You know, like, you used to gather around the wireless to listen to the old-timey, what's-her-namey show, you know?
Makes you suggest that there was a
wire. There was a version with wires, right? And what is a wire but a glorified string?
Metal string.
And so I think we would have had some kind of a string-based system of that with strings running down the street. You know,
because I guess a wire is like just a string you didn't have to keep taut.
Which was the problem, and open to interference from birds and so on. Sitting
on the wire.
Could you have had a version where the only way to get sound into your house was a bell, right? A bell on the end of a string, right? And so the radio station, which would have been like the bell tower central or whatever, they would have got people who were really good at bell ringing in, and they would have pulled these strings, and the strings go out to, you know, that there'd be a one big rope that goes down the road, and then everybody's got a little string that comes into their house with a bell on the end, and you got to gather around the bell, and you could listen to some of the best people in the business yanking bells.
And so would the bell say something or just play music?
It just plays bell music.
But do you think
just dingle-lingle-lingle, ding-ding-ding,
but you know that
dingle-lingle-lingle-ding.
But do you think that there's a way? Like, you know, who is that mathematician who figured out that you could break down each wave into a...
Fourier transforms. We're talking Fourier transforms.
Fourier transforms.
Do you think that all music, all forms of music can be communicated by bell?
Well, I'm wondering whether all form of communication, whether you could recreate the human voice using bells... If you played bells the right way.
The right way. Yeah, I think the challenge comes from doing it all with just playing one bell.
Yeah, I mean, if you could try to do it with one bell, I mean, obviously you're increasing the challenge to you, but, you know, a speaker works, and it's just one cone.
Fuck.
Are they playing the cone? Was that what you would say?
Playing the cones. Listening to the cones.
Actually,
He plays a mean cone.
You know, before they had speakers, people used to just have to vibrate their own cones if they wanted to make sound.
That was me vibrating a cone.
Can you vibrate a cone and just make sounds? How does it work?
I think you got to vibrate it pretty fast, right? Because we're talking like the speed of vibration there. And we think about that 50 hertz hum that you hear, you know, which is, you know, sometimes you just get out of like speakers where nothing's plugged in. Kind of thing. That's 50 things per second.
Yeah.
50.
I know, but you have gears. You could have some gears.
Gears to speed up the vibrating of the thing.
Yeah, well, like, you know, like you get some gears and they're hooked up to another gear and that increases the ratio of movement.
Well, maybe we could just get something where just turning a crank, right? We could certainly be turning a crank and that spins a thing.
Yeah, I know, but
piston that goes in and out.
Feels like you would need several things so that there's some. Because, you know, 50 is actually a very low music.
Well, exactly. That's what I was trying to suggest. So, that it was good. If that's that hard...
You would need some cranks that you know, like one push gets you to 1,000 megahertz real pretty quick.
We're talking some pretty serious gearing going on here.
Yeah, I know. But this is the world's pre-digitization. Like, it was all through analog
cranks.
Innovation and cranks.
Is this what the movie Christmas with the Cranks is about?
I think Christmas with the Cranks is that the movie Crank? The Christmas version of the movie Crank?
Where everyone has to be jolly a certain amount. Or like, everyone has to be having a certain amount of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if there isn't a Crank Christmas movie in the works already. And I know that we've come up with different versions of the movie Crank on the podcast in the past.
Yes.
But I feel like the name Christmas with the Crank...
Yeah.
is too good for us to pass up right
exactly.
now. A Christmas tie-in crank movie. Jason Statham, if you're listening, and I assume you are, you're gathered around the bell, you know, in your house.
Yeah, that the guy's
that
playing.
The podcast is coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, oh.
So wait, boy. So it actually is just what, like jolly cheer, or just you have to experience...
A certain amount of Christmas cheer.
Cheer, or you blow up?
I don't know what happens. I think he just dies, doesn't he, in Crank?
Yeah.
Presumably he doesn't blow up. Like it's really stretching the plausibility of the Crank franchise.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to cram some speed in there. Both Crank and speed.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Speed's another movie that could use a Christmas.
Let's do it. Let's combine those two movies. Mm-hmm. Crank Speed. We call it Crank Speed. And it's Keanu Reeves, and he's on Jason Statham's back, right? And Jason Statham running at a certain speed.
Just like, even if it's just 5 miles an hour.
Sure.
That's still,
and after
that's still
a certain amount of time,
10 kilometers an hour,
fuck,
or like 7 kilometers.
That's a real endurance thing. And then he realizes, of course, that he doesn't have to just be running. He could be falling. He could be on a bus. I guess a movie in which he's on a bus going at 5 miles an hour. That's not that impressive.
No, but maybe they could get a bus, like the police could get a bus that would drive slowly and that just has a handle on the back that he can hold on to and get pulled along at the right speed.
Yeah, is he waggling his legs? I presume he's going to still waggle his legs.
Yeah, he still has to
keep
running.
Well, then what's the benefit of the bus?
Well, then he's not having to put in the effort.
He's being pulled with the bus. He's running.
I know, but running but whilst being pulled puts out... You're not using your legs to, like, push and lift. You're kind of just catching yourself.
I'd be really interested to hear a sports physician tell us exactly how this works, because I'm not convinced.
Yeah, well, it just feels like surely that force, that energy that's kind of pulling you along is definitely having some impact, right?
I guess it must, but it feels like the stress of being pulled along as well.
I guess
he's already at peak stress.
Yeah,
he couldn't get more stressed.
He's got a bomb in his Gulliver.
Oh.
Right? Is that the Gulliver?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that the
gut? Gulliver?
I think it's the Gulliver or the Gulliver?
The gullet?
No. Gulliver. I got a bomb and be Gulliver.
I've never heard Gulliver's Travels?
No.
Me Gulliver.
Yeah, do you want me to Google it while you hold court?
Hold court?
No,
yeah,
I can't find my phone. It's all good.
Oh, thank God. I really got out of that. I think you really dodged a bullet as well, to be honest.
Andy, I'm absolutely happy to be wrong.
I could pitch crank movies to you all day.
The thing... Okay, wait. Christmas.
A crank movie in which he has to be just stressed. Just a certain amount stressed at all times. Or he'll explode.
Know,
okay, how about this?
Doesn't the idea that he's already going to explode, wouldn't that be quite stressful? Isn't the bomb maker doing a lot of the work for him? Ah, no, that'll be too easy for him. This is the.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's a meeting with the people who are deciding
what they're going to put in Jason Statham.
Yeah.
In his Gulliver.
And what he's going to have to feel a certain amount unless he dies or blows up.
Yeah. Sort of just pedantry, sort of. Irritation at sort of spelling mistakes and that sort of thing. Just isolated events of apostrophes on cafe signs that he finds annoying. It's got to be a certain amount pedantic. He's got to write a certain number of letters to the editor.
I think this Jason, like, I mean, this Keanu Reeves rides Jason Statham one at a certain speed. It's got the perfect elements for a movie that a big box office hit.
Oh yeah,
right. But
two stars.
Because I mean,
they're always going to be in frame at all times as well, mm-hmm. which will save so much money.
Mm.
Right, you don't have to cross shoot ever. Right?
Oh,
it can just be one locked shot
absolutely.
On these
You're
guys.
You're going to save a lot of money on that one cameraman, extra cameraman you want to forget.
I mean, I'm not sure as a fraction of what you pay Keanu Reeves or what you've got to pay Jason Statham to carry Keanu Reeves.
But he's really, well, and strangely, I reckon Keanu is actually the one who's going to be carrying Jason Statham in terms of performance-wise.
Really?
Yeah, well, I think Jason, has got to do the running, but Keanu's got to find something to do there on that back.
You're right.
To
You're right.
You know,
he's the one who's really working.
Yeah, he's the one who's really working. You know, and I can already see a few ways in which they can, you know, try and trick the system.
Mm.
You know, they can, they'll be able to get him on a treadmill. Treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could also sort of maybe put like some straps around Keanu and kind of lift him up a bit so he's not as much weight. Take a bit of the weight, but obviously he's still going to have to touch certain points on
Keanu Reeves.
Jason Statham's body, you know, or else the exploding will happen.
Yeah.
So he's probably got to have his legs, you know, his heels probably have to
wrapped
touch his belly
him
or something
or,
like that.
Yeah.
And his hands have to at least be on his shoulders. Or, you know, if his hands get more than, you know,
three
a meter
inches.
Away from his heart or from the bomb or whatever, you know, that'll also set it off and shit like that. Obviously, there's the bus idea, right? But then I wonder, maybe if they...
So Jason Statham's just out going for a run. And then Keanu Reeves runs up alongside him with like a piece of paper with like bomb in your Gulliver written on it.
There's a bomb in your Gulliver. Gulliver.
And Jason Statham's like trying to read it.
Mm.
It blows out and like hits him in the face and he takes it off and he's like, bomb in your Gulliver.
Maybe maybe
he starts to slow down. Like, okay. Jason Statham has to Keanu Reeves has to jump on him to start whipping him just to keep him up.
No, I think initially Keanu probably, you're right, probably isn't part of it, right? Keanu is just having a picnic in Central Park, right?
Great.
And Statham's going for a run. He's just going for a regular run, a Jason Statham run, a big long one.
I know exactly the kind you're talking
and
about.
And meanwhile, he stops. He's a quarter of the way through his run, right? He runs 10 to 12 miles a day.
Wow.
Yeah. But a quarter of the way through...
So he's in good shape.
He's in great shape. Quarter of the way through the run, he stops for a hot dog in Central Park.
Oh, no.
Right? Keanu can see him. He's just kind of just paying attention. Keanu had just seen some shadowy figures.
Around the hot dog stand?
Around the hot dog stand.
And he was just you kind know of how it is when you're on a 12-mile run and you stop for a hot dog?
Yeah.
Alistair, that completely got past me. But I'm glad we're just taking a moment to appreciate, hey, this is Statham's regime.
This is Statham's regime.
He's
got to
keep that...
Got to keep his protein up, got to keep his carbs up.
You know.
Got to keep his mustards up.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, these people know something about Statham. They know that he stops, you know, they've studied
every
him.
Day. They've studied his routine. Day. He stops every day to get a hot dog.
A quarter of the way through his, you know, on the 4-mile mark.
Onions on the top.
They get something placed in the hot dog, right? Keanu sees that happen. He starts following.
But he doesn't really chew that hot dog as well. No, he wolfs it down.
Absolutely. It's Jason Statham. You know, man doesn't use his teeth. Man's all gums.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
all gums and Gulliver.
Gums and Gulliver.
That's going to continue to trip me up this entire episode. Yeah.
And so then Keanu starts trying to signal him.
Because he's already got an instinct. He's got an instinct for these things.
This is this is Speed 3.
Yeah. Now, and he wasn't in Speed 2, but was it still his character in Speed 2, even though it wasn't his face?
But his character still existed, so therefore he existed even if it was outside of the... Mm-hmm. He didn't ever come into frame. You could say that he's still...
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Either way, that movie took place in the universe in which he was.
Yeah.
So even if he wasn't involved, he's read about it in the news and he's taken note of the salient facts, as you would if you'd been involved in the previous one of these types of incidents.
Exactly. He probably would have had to have been paid just to not be in the movie.
Paid to not be in the movie?
Do you think so? Do you think like he had enough like pull on that movie that he almost had
I'm
to
not
be
gonna
paid.
Be in it, but I want you to pay me anyway.
I'm going to need...
That's my final offer.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, that's just my guess.
I bet he's got a great agent.
So then they would have seen him trying to signal him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rig him up with some weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
They rig up Keanu.
They
slip something into his mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And his picnic.
Yeah. And then, maybe something on his hands as well. So that, anyway... And then somehow they get him on Jason Statham's shoulders.
Oh, I think he's got to jump onto Jason Statham of his own accord. Mm. And then it's got to be that whoever's involved sees him there and says, well, you're involved now. Like in Die Hard with a Vengeance, when Samuel L. Jackson, he intervenes to try and help Bruce Willis, but then what's the name? The captain, German guy, tells him that he's now involved.
Well, then how about this?
Elements of all the greatest movies, by the way.
The bad guys are chasing Keanu, who was trying to alert Jason Statham.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then he runs over a bridge, an overpass, that just as Jason Statham is running underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he jumps off and lands on his shoulders.
Yeah, correct. You know,
either his shoulders or his piggyback.
I think it's got to be piggyback.
Yeah.
The framing's gonna be too difficult. Yeah, if it's
they would have to make cinema.
We're gonna lose our saving on having that not having that second cameraman.
Yeah, cinema screens. You would need to get a cinema screen that goes long ways upwards, like that. So then, then he's involved.
Or you're gonna have to get seats for the audience where everyone's lying down in the cinema.
Or
strapped up the wall.
Mm. Or everybody could tilt their head.
I mean, so many people are used to seeing things filmed in portrait mode on telephones now.
I've got no problem with
things being... I wonder how long until we flip the cinema.
I mean, I think it'd be nice if there was one portrait cinema.
What would that be like?
Same thing, but upwards.
You're right. That is what it would be like.
You get more headroom in the shots, or you know, more space. Get some of that upper, you know? Mm. A lot of the time when I'm watching a movie, I always wonder when I'm watching a character talk,
wonder what's up there.
Wonder if there's any birds flying by up above.
It sounds like you're watching a real good movie.
Yeah. Wonder if there's any planes flying by. No, the audio guy probably would have gone plane.
That's the one thing that you know about any movie, is there are no planes flying by.
Yeah. It's because audio guys are good.
Yeah. They would have probably picked up that bird. I don't know if any of the listeners picked up that bird that was just going nuts here outside the garage. We're in Al's garage, by the way. We're recording this one on location.
Yeah, we're trying to cram in a bunch before Christmas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you're not supposed to tell people what time. I don't know why people say that you shouldn't tell people what time of day
it's going to date it.
It's really going to date it.
Oh, you know they recorded that at 9 a.m.? It's 4 p.m. now. Why am I going to listen to this podcast? It's dated. It
doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The dates.
It's on the other side of the world anyway. Like, technically, Americans could listen to this before we recorded it. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
if I upload this in time...
That's true.
Which I won't, because I'm always late.
Yeah.
They could be listening to this when it doesn't exist.
By the way, this was the
paradox.
This was the other way that I thought that they could trick it, Keanu and Jason.
Yeah.
Water skiing.
That's really good.
You know, he could keep going a certain speed.
And that's a thing when people are getting on each other's shoulders anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He gets pulled along, so then he's, you know, it's like the bus scenario, but we know that he's not exerting any force.
Yeah.
The only problem is this, what if he comes off?
Keanu?
No, what if he, like, stacks it?
And he's got to, I guess he's got to swim. He's got to start swimming real quick.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could, maybe the best thing for him is to be grabbed by a shark or something and dragged.
Mm.
Yeah.
And
a long distance, drowned and killed and torn apart. Mm. I don't know.
At least he wouldn't have to die through the painless way of explosion.
People say drowning is the best way to go. Do people say drowning is the best way to go, or it's the worst way to go? I can never remember, and I feel like I need some clarity on this.
Well, people who have told me that they felt themselves start to drown. A friend of mine said that he was doing some scuba diving thing, and he was like, I realized I was just swallowing water.
So,
but it had happened a few times before he went, oh, I'm just swallowing.
Like into his lungs?
I can't remember.
Yeah, right.
But water was going in, he was almost not noticing it. So if it's like that, that'd be great. But obviously he did notice at some point. So that probably also happens.
Yeah.
So then the panic really would set in.
Mm. The trick to drowning well is to sort of not pay attention to it. Try not to notice it.
Mm.
You know?
Just let it wash over you.
Wash
over. And into you. You know, if you do get a bunch of water in your lungs, and then you do get out of the water.
Yeah, I think you've told me this on the podcast before.
Oh,
whatever
you're
about to say, you can still drown somehow.
You can still drown. If you just go home or whatever and you don't get any of that water taken out of your lungs.
Yeah, you know how they just send you home?
Well, that's if you don't go hospital.
Right. Don't go to hospital? Maybe there wasn't even any Bondi Rescue there.
You just kind of like, you got dumped by a few heavy waves. You couldn't quite get out of the rip, but eventually you did.
Mm.
But at one point, swallowed a bunch of water in your lungs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that on Bondi Rescue, anybody's rescue or medical treatment has ever been delayed while they get the cameras into location? You know, not by much, but by, you know...
Just like, wait, and then they're just getting that guy with the reflective thing so that they can get a slightly better light.
Yeah. That, I mean...
I'm sure having the cameras there doesn't speed up the process of filming things and rescuing... Sorry, doesn't speed up the process of rescuing people.
And those flags, when they say between the flags, is that really because that's the safe area to swim, or is that really just because it's more convenient for the you know, the camera crew will be able to get there?
Are you asking me that question for real? I'm a former lifesaver.
You were a former lifesaver, Alistair. You're no longer a lifesaver.
I've let my bronze medallion go out of lapse. Yeah,
it's lapsed.
It's lapsed. So, but I could get back in there. I could be saving lives. I never had to save a single life.
Mm.
That's a weird thing, isn't it? Like, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater, or once a Boy Scout, always a Boy Scout. Mm. But a lifesaver, you don't even have to save a life, and you're already a lifesaver.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. There's other things that you do at once, and you're always that thing. You know, sheep fucker,
murderer,
sheep fucker,
or sheep fucker. There you go. You know, you never get that. Never lapses.
That never lapses.
Oh, I'll let my sheep fucking medallion lapse.
No. Everybody always knows. As soon as they know that about you, that you'll always be that kind of person to them.
Yeah, I mean, are there any good versions of that? I think maybe all good things lapse, but all bad things stay with you.
Yeah, well,
right.
I mean, young punk.
How many lives would you have to save before, you know, sheep fucking was not even mentioned in the news article about you?
Well, I reckon if you become a war hero, they'll forgive almost anything like that.
I don't know that that's the case.
If you become a war hero, it becomes extremely rude to say anything negative about you.
Yeah, I think Victoria is currently going through that with one of our Australia is going through that with one of our war heroes.
Mm.
There's some legal stuff going on. There's some allegations being thrown around, and a lot of people are very uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to feel.
And I think there's just people online that just defend the crap out of them.
Mm. Mm.
But now, is there a sketch in any of this?
Well, I mean, there's got to be something in this sheepfucker angle, right? Well, I'm sorry to keep saying that, right? But, like, say the news comes out that somebody has fucked a sheep. Or somebody finds out. I feel like the government wants to know first, right, if you fucked a sheep, because then they've got a great hold over you to say, like, look, we're going to need a lot of war heroing out of you to be able to keep this under wraps or something like that. Like, it's kind of a blackmail, I suppose.
It was something the Russians would love to have all over you. A bit of footage like that, a bit of compromise.
Oh, if you're going to do it, though, don't do it in like a Russian hotel or
something
like
that. No, don't do that. Don't make love to your sheep in a hotel.
I mean, what's worse, do you think? The making love to the sheep or just the carelessness with which it was done? The lack of regard for the sort of the socio-political context.
That you've taken your sheep lover on a trip to Russia.
On a trip to Russia, yeah. I mean, and where does that fall with our live animal exports?
Mm. Well, I guess as long as you don't sell it.
Yeah, yeah, as long as you...
Well, look, what about this? You know, it's a guy who everybody in this town is convinced has had sex with animals, right?
Okay.
And now, and it's all over the internet when you Google this person's name.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they're trying to change their life around. Now, they've probably tried changing their name, but...
Mm.
There's a whole Facebook group dedicated to just tracking him down.
Yeah.
So that they can make fun of him for being a sheep lover.
Hmm. Yeah, we've really softened that, haven't we? I think quite masterfully we've...
Thank you.
We've used language. You have. You can get full credit for being able to turn that into something.
That person can be. Maybe they are a sheep lover.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm. I'd like to think so.
There we go. Right? Rather than it just be like, you know, a rumor, a very strong rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to reverse engineer this thing with these, you know, like maybe they are seeing this scandal with this, you know, former like war hero, one of our greatest war heroes. Mm. And he goes, well, this person, almost nobody can, without getting shouted down, criticize this person for, you know, whatever, like the possible illegal killing of people while at war and, you know, being involved in domestic violence, things like that. Mm. So maybe I'll find a way to try to become a war hero, and then I'll shed this damn image of me as a sheep lover, and I can go back to loving sheep.
Do you think when you win a Victoria's Cross medal for bravery in the face of danger and sort of thing, with no regard for your own life, and you get it pinned onto you by the Governor General, he leans in and whispers in your ear, "You can fuck any sheep you want," and then just leans back like that.
Well, I mean, that feels like a great closing to the scene.
Yeah, I think that's a sketch, right? I mean, I want to know, like, if this this person who cocked this all their life does go away to war, does, you know, save the nation in some way. And then, you know, there's plaudits and there's a ticker tape parade, but like, but then they still, when we see the, you know, the newspapers spinning at the screen, which I've never seen that done with tweets, but we've got to update that. Newspapers spinning to, ding, ding, you know, like at the end of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey or Excellent Adventure, one of them. That was that definitely happened in that. Yeah, we've got to do that with tweets or like BuzzFeed listicles or something.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. It's a solid idea.
You know, and maybe it's actually quite hard.
But I'm saying that these articles come up at the screen and it still says "Sheep Fucker Saves Australia" or something. And I wonder if that would change our national discourse.
You think?
You know, whether or not maybe it would become sort of okay.
You think we could become more okay?
Hmm.
I don't know.
Well, look.
It probably happens more than we
love
think.
We love our veterans.
Hmm?
How about this, Alistair? I'm a veterinarian.
Yeah.
I only eat returned servicemen.
Yeah, right.
And women.
Thank you. And are you a woman?
Yes.
Yeah, great. Let's see. Is there anything... I mean, I think that's a fun tweet.
Is it?
I think it's a fun...
Thanks.
It's a fun tweet.
Keep me away from the buffet at the RSL, that's all I'm saying.
Or away from any other area of the
Anything else? I mean,
actually, keep me near the buffet so I can fill myself up on non-veterans. Veteran things.
Yeah, so I hope there's none working the Bain Marie. Would it work as like, I'm a veterinarian. I can't go in within... They won't let me within 100 metres of an RSL. Do you think people would understand what was going on there? Or would those just seem like two unrelated thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think it's too far. I think it's too big a leap.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to put as much distance as possible between the setup and the...
What about I'm a retired veterinarian?
I think a veteran is by definition retired.
Really?
Right? I don't think you're a veteran until after you've...
Oh, right. I thought it was just somebody who came back home.
You know what? You may be right. Veteran. I'm a veteran of 50 years at... Yeah, you know, I'm a veteran of 10 years in the hospitality industry. You could still be in the hospitality industry.
Hmm. It's like a senior player, like a...
Old Hand.
I'm an Old Hand.
Mm.
Old Hand's a good band name.
Old Hand? Yeah. Mm. Email in the email address, twinthethinktank@gmail.com. Email in if you've got any suggestions for George's band. But Old Hand, absolutely.
Do you have that app, that account linked up to your regular Gmail?
Yeah. They come straight in. I get dings. Don't worry about
That's great.
I get alerts any time of the day or night.
You send an email, that'll ding straight into Andy's pocket.
Yeah. And don't worry, I keep the volume on at all times, all through the night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This will wake, I guarantee, you email me with a band name, I will wake up. I'll wake up my wife, I'll say, Carly.
Mm-hmm. Carly, somebody has a band name for George.
Yeah.
Gold Hand.
She'll love it. She will have just got back to sleep after, you know, feeding the baby.
Yeah.
This is how much seriously we take it, right?
You guys should email that account so much that Andy turns off notifications.
Hey, try me.
But I'm just saying, whoever sends emails now, band names or, you know, whatever, that'll definitely go straight to Andy's eyes. That'll be definitely seen by Andy's eyes.
We need a thing that is other than urgent, right, for emails, which is just like somebody, if you're emailing me something and you're like, this is genuinely cool, right?
Yep.
Give me a different kind of alert, and I think I'm probably more likely to look at that than I am an urgent email.
Because what's your regular sound? Like a ding?
Yeah, just a ding.
Yeah, maybe like a, think of like...
Like a... Ah, whoa.
What about this?
Oh, I don't know.
No?
I don't know if I can have that coming from my pocket, Alistair.
Well, it's not from your mouth, so you're safe.
I guess so. I guess the pocket's the safest place.
Unless you hold your mouth in a kind of O way naturally, then people might suspect that it's coming from your mouth.
Resting O face.
It's one of my favorite sounds to do, and I can't even really believe that I can breathe in and out that fast.
Yeah. Yeah, now, imagine if you could shake a speaker that fast.
Yeah, then I could, anyway.
I guess that's what a wobble board is, isn't it?
Maybe.
Is it?
Well,
no.
I wonder whether the speaker uses the wobble board principle.
Mm.
I've never heard really a speaker go, walk, 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 wobble, wobble, wobble.
Now, I wonder if that, no, but that can't be right, because the wobbles to make that sound would still have to be, the vibrations in the air would still have to be at a higher frequency than just the movement of the wobble board, I'm sure.
Standard wobble board.
Yeah.
Like, how can you get more, can you get like an alto wobble board and a bass wobble board?
I like to think so.
Mm.
I like to think that, you know, you could get a piccolo.
Like,
yeah,
like a wobble board that's kind of like more like made out of a gong material.
Mm, like an orchestral one, yeah. You know. Does Steinway do a wobble board?
Well, I figure a wobble board, like a proper wobble board practitioner would have a team of wobble boards with him. Like, you know, just like a whole array.
A rack? Would you have a rack?
An absolute rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would need a van. It would take up more space than 3 timpanis, I think. Which it feels like a very odd amount of timpanis to own, but I guess that depends on how many tones you're going for. Usually I picture 2 timpanis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't picture any number of timpanis.
Do you think you could have an all wobble board quartet?
Yeah, I think you could have had one. I think recently the wobble board has had some significant damage to its brand. Again, by Australians who are under a cloud.
Mm. Sure, but it doesn't feel like we've got the absolute most out of the wobble board yet.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But all I am saying is that I don't know who's going to put in the time, you know, because it's a thankless task working to redeem the wobble board. Firstly, from the terrible associations with its chief proponent. If you don't know who I'm talking about, then don't worry about it. And secondly, the fact that it's the wobble board. Like, you're already pushing shit uphill with the wobble board, I think.
Yeah, but I think it could just be more, you know, if you used it in a slightly more, rather than a percussive way, maybe use it as in a more melodic way.
Okay, somebody who could, look, I'm totally ready to have my mind blown by somebody with a wobble board who can, convey depth of emotion. That wasn't previously thought possible. Someone who will come along like Louis Armstrong and play notes that we didn't even know were on the wobble board spectrum.
Well, I guess you could, in the middle of the wobble board, you could put like a sort of like a thicker bit, you know, like maybe like a hammery bit, and then play it in between 2 xylophones that are laying on their sides.
Yeah, okay. I feel like the xylophones are doing a lot of the work.
I know, but then now you're using the wobble board and the xylophones together in a new instrument. The zobble phone.
Well, look, I will tell you this. We need more words starting with X because it's very difficult to communicate to kids what the point of them, the X is. You know, when I'm trying to do the alphabet there and I get to the X, it's always like X-ray fish or xylophone.
X-ray fish?
I got a book of animals with letters for each animal and or animals for each letter. Right? X-ray fish. It's a type of fish you can see through it. But the X-ray fish has made it into the book along with things like L for lion. Like, X-ray fish doesn't deserve to be in this book. It's only making up the numbers or letters as the case may be. Right?
Oh, so that's...
I think we could... Look, we should come up with any old shit. And whatever it is, let's just name it with the letter X. And then just by sheer... Like, that's where That's the weak point in the alphabet system is the fact that there aren't enough things that start with X. So you can sneak stuff in.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime somebody's looking for something that starts with X, you're going to come up in the top three search results.
I think we just...
Because there are only three things that start with X.
I know, but you got to diversify what X can do. Right? Use, you know, now that a lot more Chinese names and places have entered sort of English and people are more exposed to this kind of stuff.
Let's make X ch.
Well, yeah, more that sh. Yeah.
Or sh.
So if we could just like start taking away, because then if we did that, we wouldn't need sh.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
So then take out everything that has sh, right? Shirt, xirt, shirt, like that.
I'm fine with this.
I mean, like, why are we inventing double letters, double letter sounds, when we've already got underused regular letters?
Yeah. And an X is a real good letter as well. Like, you look at the design of the X, you're like, that's one of the alpha letters, really.
Well, I mean, that symbol is such a big player in the maths world, alphanumeric.
Yeah. It's done well with in the maths world and the pirating world.
The pirating word?
Pirating world.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, but what behind that skull?
Marking the spot.
Oh yeah, but also behind the skull.
Behind the skull?
Or above the skull, under the skull?
Well, the crossbones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. X is all over that.
I mean, I don't like this calling it a cross, though. Because isn't a cross more like the thing Jesus was hanging on?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's that noughts and crosses that screws people up. It's not noughts and crosses. It's zeros and X's. Or O's and X's.
O's and X's. Here's a thing, place in life where I, like, is there anything in any of that?
Let's see.
It
kind of makes me think about that Sesame Street song where they're trying to, where Bert is part of some club. Is it W? The W, wah? And they're talking about how they... love this letter, and then it's a song.
Yeah,
you ever
okay.
heard this?
No, but it sounds good.
You know, and they're like a, you know, it could be W, you know, appreciation kind of club.
Yeah.
They talk about all the great words it does. Well, I think, you know, an X appreciation club that is trying to, you know, make X relevant before we lose it. It's genuinely like one of the best symbols in the alphabet.
Being wasted.
It's being wasted, and there's extra things being created that you know, they could talk about the productivity that we're losing based on...
I feel like we've talked about exactly this idea before. Something about you reusing using letters from the alphabet more. I feel like this is, like, we talked on it about it in, like, the last four podcasts.
No, it wasn't in the last four.
No, there was something about Scrabble and about we want all the letters to be worth the same amount. Something about aliens coming down, maybe. I'm getting flashbacks of, like, we are just repeating ourselves. Like, I discovered I repeated my same, like, King Scorpion in the ear non-anecdote in two, like, successive podcasts. And I must just talk so much boring shit all the time that you didn't even notice. You were just like, oh, really? The second time as well. Anyway, thanks a lot, Alistair, attention.
No, I think I did know.
Oh, right, that I was repeating myself.
No, I didn't know you were repeating yourself. I knew that you brought up the same idea.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think you had to, you like re-explained it, did you?
Oh, I feel like I did. I listened back to the podcast and I was like, that is not acceptable.
The important thing is that we're talking about it again.
The important thing is... that I don't know what I'm saying until I listen to the podcast later on.
Yeah.
Here's a place in life where I would like more honesty. And this may be something I've also brought up on the podcast before, so I'm sorry, everybody, but this is a greatest hits now, right? I want to have more honesty when I am ordering a coffee. I want honesty between me and the person making the coffee as to whether they genuinely think that their coffee is a good coffee.
You know? Sure, so what?
Because today I bought a coffee, I was like, had an audition for a thing, and afterwards I was like, I don't feel good about the world. I would like a good coffee, right?
Mm.
And I went to a place that looked good, and I ordered the coffee, and it was almost not a coffee. Like, it didn't seem to have any of the traditional coffee flavors that you associate with coffee in it, right? And I felt worse. And I wish I just could have said, hey, I'd like a coffee that won't make me feel worse. You know, or like,
sure.
Do you honestly think that if I'm only going to buy one coffee today, do you honestly think it should be one that's made by you, barista? And I feel like they would know if they're honest with themselves.
Do you think that they should be more honest with you when they're handing you the coffee? This is not going to be... This is not going to be satisfying to you.
I don't know what you're looking for in this coffee, but I don't think it's going to... Look, if they could just give me a... If they could assess me, I can be honest, or they can just, like, make... Look at me, look at my face, drink me in with their eyes, and then say, look, this isn't going to give you what you need.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you know, I think that's a great thing. It's not going to be great for their business.
It could be if they're good at coffee.
Well, of course, if they're good at coffee.
But it's a good motivator to be good. Like, because otherwise you're just lying all the time.
Yeah,
selling people this coffee like it's a coffee.
Yeah.
Look, or a good coffee.
No,
you know?
I hear you. Absolutely.
I don't know what the incentive...
I mean, like, I think if they already have a good coffee, that's already going to be quite a good selling point for them as well. That's already working.
Sure. But for me, as a person going to have my first coffee there, how do I know?
Well, you know what they should have.
What should they have?
They should just have a coffee already made that everybody can sip from when they're new
Perfect.
To the place. That they can sip from, and then you can go, oh, yeah, no, this is not really my thing.
Or like a pole that coffee is constantly dripping down that we can lick.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah. So like...
I'll lick the pole.
Yeah, just lick the pole, see what you think.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of like one of those chocolate fountains, but instead of out of a fountain, it's just like a metal pole. Like,
yeah, and it's just dribbling down.
Yeah, it's like an old basketball ring kind of thing, or netball ring.
Yeah.
And just over the top, just kind of dribbles down.
Bubbles up over the top, goes dribbles down the outside.
Like, that could be where all the stuff in the tray under the barista machine goes, you know, the coffee machine.
Great, perfect. They've always got that overflow and that sort of thing. Bubbles up over the top of this pole, dribbles down the outside. Mm. You lick that. Okay, let me tell you, if you like that, you're going to love the coffee.
Well, maybe, like, without making it too complicated, maybe that tray could just kind of flow down onto the counter.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of lick it out of the trough.
Dip a finger in or something. Lick it out of the trough. Yeah, you're right. Lick it out of the trough.
Yeah, I think you could lick it out of the trough. Anybody who's just coming is new. Yeah, you can lick it out of the trough.
I think the only stigma against licking things, you know, like drinking out of a trough like a pig, is that you've got to bend down to do it like a pig.
Yeah.
But if the trough was going past you at head height and you just, you know...
Yeah.
Look it out. I mean, I guess everyone has a different head height. Everyone has the same foot height, though. Have you noticed that?
Well, there could be some stairs in front. Yeah, everyone does have the same foot height. We're all the same height down at our feet.
Yeah.
Oh,
see?
That's a great saying.
Isn't that good? That's very powerful. I think I'll put that on a poster.
Okay, right.
Yeah?
We're all the same height down at our feet.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, we're like a bunch of matchsticks or a bunch of, you know, we're a bunch of bits of straw.
Yeah. Are we?
Waiting to get picked. And one of us... You know, and down the bottom, we're all the same. Down the bottom.
We're all the same down the bottom.
You know, on one end, we're all the same. Because on the end that they should, you know, the straws are poking out.
True, yeah.
But on the other end, the hidden end, you know, that's I guess that's kind of different to life. Because really, in life, you notice how different the ends are. You know, how tall and short. But you never notice how equal we are at the foot level. You see? People are too, they've got their heads in the clouds.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Some of them, others have got their heads in the sort of the, just like the exhaust clouds.
I guess if somebody had their eyeballs upside down, I don't know if this is a condition that you have, but your eyeballs are upside down.
No, be true.
So you see the ground as the top.
Yeah.
Right? Then you would think that everyone was the same height looking at their feet. Right? And then you've got to, for you, look up, which for us is...
Look down.
No, for you, you've got to look down, which for us is look up.
Yeah.
And you see that all the heads are at different heights. And you're like, oh, wow, everybody's a different height.
Yeah, right. Well, do you also confuse, like, people's feet for their eyes?
Maybe.
Just you know, that's why they're always looking at the ground?
Mm. And do you think that maybe this would be good for a do you think it's possible for us to turn everybody's eyes upside down? Maybe with glasses and lenses and that sort of thing, but if everybody could...
Lenses feels too easy. I think maybe if we actually turn people's eyeballs upside down.
Let's turn everybody's eyeballs upside down, and then they always see the feet first, right? Covered up with shoes so you can't see skin color or anything like that. Men and women wear identical shoes so you can't tell gender, right? And there won't be any prejudice.
So like just, it's kind of like communism, but just for your feet.
Yeah.
You know, and if we just were communists, you know, that's why it's so hard to sort of like imagine introducing communism to a country where, you know, trying to make everybody equal, blah, blah, blah. But what if you just said like a very small part of you will be a communist?
Yeah, or we'll just turn your eyes upside down. You know, it's hard to imagine restructuring society, turning society upside down.
Yeah.
But if we don't have to, just turn your eyeballs upside down.
Turn your eyeballs upside down and put on the same pair of shoes as everybody else is wearing.
Mm-hmm. We can make it sound a bit cooler. We can say something like, flip your peepers.
Flip your peepers.
We're just going to flip your peepers.
And it'll be a simple
process. Hey kids, flip your peepers.
It'll be a simple process. You'll go into, you know, it won't even need to really be medical training.
Oh, great.
You just go to somebody, they've done a 2-week course. They've been given a pair of sort of eyeball tongs.
Yeah.
Like that. And they just kind of go in. Because I mean, the wiring back there behind the eye, I imagine, would be relatively flexible, right? And so you can just grab hold of the eyeball.
The wiring.
It's just got a soft spongy thing, so it'll be nice on your eye, like that. It'll be like the
thing that you're grabbing the eyeball with.
Eyeball with.
So it's not fingers.
No. It'll be these are the tongs.
The tongs. Twirling. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I reckon it'll probably be croc material.
Yeah, whatever they make crocs out of.
What do they make crocs out of?
That feels nice and...
Yeah, it'll be a perfect thing for holding onto an eyeball.
I'd love to feel that on my eyeball.
Yeah, I'd love to know what that would like if a hand made of croc material could hold my eyeball.
Yeah.
Like that between his fingers. And then it just turns it around, just changes your vision so that then you realize that everybody's equal.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Mm.
It's crazy the things that you find out that people can do that you wouldn't... Like, you wouldn't expect, right, in a medical context.
Mm.
I was listening to Nick Mason being interviewed on Daniel Connell's podcast.
Yeah.
Taking It Easy with Daniel Connell. Great podcast.
Daniel Connell. Some really good stuff. And I love Nicholas Mason.
Nick Mason from the Planet Broadcasting Network. And he was talking about how he used to be a dental technician and that dentists, he was in the dentist when they removed somebody's jaw. Like, that doesn't feel like something that would be within the dentist's purview.
Wow.
Like, I assume it was the lower jaw, because the upper jaw is all built into the skull.
Wait, so they can just take out a person's jaw?
They took out a jaw. I mean, it didn't... I wanted more detail, and this is where Daniel really let down the interviewing. He's a great interviewer,
by the way.
But I would have had a follow-up question about, like, what, did they put something else in there? Or did they just let all of that...
Dangle,
the flap? I mean, this feels like something that we would propose as a way to get your head to go down inside your chest cavity.
Yeah, or like maybe like did they rest his chin on sort of like on a little table, sort of like a boob in a mammogram?
Like a boob in a mammogram.
You know?
I'll tell you what, I felt like a boob in a mammogram.
You know?
I am under a lot of pressure at work, you know? Yeah. I feel like I'm being squeezed from every side. I'm like a boob in a mammogram. If that's not already an expression, they really squish those boobs real thin.
Real thin.
Real thin.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of the few contexts in which the news shows boobs, is when they're squished real thin like that.
That's right.
In a mammogram.
There's not a lot of context. Yeah. There's not a lot of context in which the news will show like a healthy boob that's not even being suspect of having something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I guess you got to squeeze a boob pretty thin for it to be news.
Yeah. You know? That's the news for you. But you know what? And there's actually almost, I don't think there's a single context in which they'll show a penis on the news.
I mean, how thin would you have to squeeze it, do you think?
I imagine if they were building a bridge and they were just putting down one of the pavers...
Yeah.
One of the pavers, like the final paver, and it's like, you know, it's a 10-15 meter big block of concrete that they're fitting on top of the you know, those legs that they make for the bridge or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they'd call those pavers, but
The overpass, the overpass bit of, you know, cement or whatever. And as they're laying it down,
but it's a glass bridge.
They realize some guy's penis is laying on the leg like that. And he was just, he was probably just peeing on top of the paver.
Yeah.
You know, he's 25 meters up in the air.
He's just peeing on top of the paver. Flops his penis out onto a flat surface.
Mm-hmm. Didn't realize. He had headphones in. Didn't realize the
crane. Oh, no. See, this is why you can't have your headphones in.
No, while you're doing insane parkour over bridge construction sites.
Urinating onto a flat paver.
Yeah, flat paver up at 25 meters in the air. Anyway, didn't hear it. Squished his penis so thin that, do you think they would show his penis on the news?
I think if it was a glass brick that they'd lowered down onto it,
sure,
and they had footage maybe from a helicopter from above.
So rather it was like one of those sort of new walkways they've got over the Great Grand Canyon or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
So yeah, same scenario. Of a bridge.
It's over the Grand Canyon.
Over the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And it's a glass paver. So they show that shot from above of the glass paver. This flat dick in between two glass pavers.
I don't think you could not show this on the news. There is so much going on that makes this absolutely newsworthy. Even without the penis, you know, I think you would get a human interest story out of them building this glass walkway over the Grand Canyon, one of the most beautiful places on Earth. An absolute, like, incredible feat of human engineering to build this glass gantry. The Grand Canyon. And of course the walkway that allows you to go out. They're lowering in the final huge glass paver, as you so rightly put it. Okay, and even without the element of a man's penis being squished completely flat beneath the paver, I think this still makes the evening news. But you add in the penis element, and you cannot show that.
Just think how
that
wide
people
it would
be. That is news.
Yeah, and then that guy's in a weird place in which, like,
he is in a very weird place.
I mean,
he's definitely in a weird place. You know, a beautiful place.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But
yeah, what do you think would take your breath away more, the view, or having your penis squished that thin,
or even seeing how flat his penis gets? Because you would be seeing a penis in such a different context, you know,
because
its width would increase dramatically.
And width is obviously a really, it's a real selling point for the penis as well. You know, if you can talk about your width, I imagine that's one of the key parameters of a successful penis. You really do.
Yeah.
I
mean, if your width was about you.
Oh, and it could be with this guy.
Yeah, well, that's right.
He could wrap himself up in his.
Yeah, he would. It could be like a what's that? It's one of those jackets that you wear to kind of cut out the wind.
A windbreaker, a parka.
Windbreaker. You could use that as a windbreaker.
I'm sure you could, yeah. I mean, I think that the downside would be that you would then be feeling all of that wind on your incredibly thin penis, and I think that's quite a sensitive area.
That's true. Yeah, it would be quite sensitive,
actually. And you would probably feel so chilly.
Do you think it would be more painful if he wasn't circumcised? Because, I mean, somebody was trying to tell me that, you know, because people who are circumcised don't feel anywhere near as much as people who aren't, because they cut off a lot of the nerve endings.
Really? Is that what it is? Well, it's nerve endings?
I guess at the end of the skin of the foreskin.
I always assumed that it was because the tip of the penis is exposed more, and so is in contact with your underpants and that sort of thing.
That's probably
it just
also
sort of gets stimulated much more.
Yeah, maybe that is.
I think it's just jaded than anything.
You don't think that I don't know, but you don't think a foreskin itself.
It's world weary.
The foreskin itself doesn't have any nerve endings. I mean, that's very much. Like,
let's lay it all on the table, Alistair. Yeah. You're circumcised. I am not. Right. Yeah. And I don't associate the tip of the foreskin as having a lot of my foreskin. I don't think of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, if I was thinking, if I was evolution.
Now, when I say lay it all on the table, I obviously don't mean
sort of like a boob in a mammogram.
Yeah. I don't mean this huge paver here.
Yeah, this big glass paver that I'm just gonna pee on this glass right here. I just feel like from an evolutionary point of view,
yeah,
feels like that skin, you know, that's your searcher ant, you know, that's the one that's supposed to, you know, that's the one that's looking for that stimulation.
Yeah. Okay.
So that it can get this, so that, you know, the rest of that body can, the rest of that gland can do its work. You know, and maybe...
And then it gets out of the way and...
That's right. You know, it gets out of the way so that the...
The worker ants.
The worker ants can do their job.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's a lot to think about, and I'm going to go away and I'm going to, you know,
see,
re-examine my life in that context, in that anti-context.
An ant colony is broken up into, you know, it's like termites. They're not all individuals. The individual is the colony.
Mm, you know? Yeah, you're right.
And so the searcher ants, those ones that you just see randomly in your kitchen at first when, you know, before there's a trail, it's just the ones looking for
some real interesting ants in our house recently, and I don't like it. Like, I'm talking big ones and, like, long legs and, like, a real range of ants.
Yeah. Well, those are the foreskins.
Yeah.
Right? And then the ones that come in the trail later, those are your worker ants.
Yep.
That's when the main game arrives.
Okay. is there anything in, and I'm sorry to make it so penis-y.
Yeah.
But is there anything in this man and the fact that he now has such a wide penis and such a long penis trying to sell that as like a, you know, an appealing thing when what it really lacks is any height?
Sure, I think this is how the sketch opens, right? Sketch opens, it's a woman getting a mammogram on the news.
Yeah, correct. Right?
He goes, voiceover kind of, you know, or news reporter kind of says, this is something that you see all the time. No, it's not a news reporter. It's just the person who made the video. So they go, this is a woman getting a mammogram, and it's one of the few times you'll ever see a boob
On the news.
Maybe it's even a men's rights group.
Yeah. I love this in the context of men's rights, talking about that you never see a penis on the news.
Yeah.
Trying to find out how thin they've got to squish a penis together.
Yeah. You know, that said, you know, they are squishing it pretty thin, you know. And so how thin does a penis have to get in order to appear on the news? Well... Michael Kroger.
Michael Kroger, the former head of the Victorian Liberal Party. Michael Kroger.
Was that the Grand Canyon doing some parkour on the construction site?
Look, I mean, the Liberals have got to do whatever they can at this stage to try and, you know, change the narrative of the party, particularly in Victoria where they're in such a doldrum. So I can see why he would be doing that, you know?
And so maybe then they go and talk to this guy who got this, but they still didn't show his penis.
Mm.
And they're like, well, we're going to show you, you know, or whatever. We're going to talk, were you disappointed they didn't show it? And then we can get into the stuff about how he talks about what, you know, it's...
Or it could just be an MRA group who are doing experiments, you know, they keep squishing their penises. They take photos and they bring the footage to the news, to the newsroom.
Sure.
And they're like, why won't you show this on the news?
And then maybe through a process of evolution, they're trying to figure out exactly how to make a penis newsworthy.
Mm.
Right?
Well, otherwise they're going to die out.
Well, they could. They could, you know. Maybe they think that's part of the reason why men are getting, you know, that, you know, like they think that, what was it? They think that men are going to be bred out. And
bred
men
out. Gonna, you know, they're going to become useless. Like
so whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so part of it is that because we're only showing female parts.
Mm.
Even though we're probably showing male nipples on the news all the time.
It's
wall to wall male nipples. Right? Anyway.
Look, yeah. All right. Well, you know, that's something, isn't it?
There's a structure there of some sort.
Yeah. Do you think a good way to get on television would be to, or maybe like as a way to get more Australian drama on TV or something like that, is we could go and we could actually stage a show just sort of behind that window where they do the morning shows?
That's a good idea.
You know, they got that window out onto the street or whatever. We can go down there and we can maybe if we write a, you know, 6-part hour long drama, we go and we perform it all there out there on the streets.
Yeah, I think we would have to get all the scenes done in about, you know, each scene would have to be sort of no more than a couple of minutes.
I think that's healthy for our writing discipline, you know, to get that stuff out.
And so do 1-hour thing. So 1 hour and 2-minute segments. So it would be like a 30-piece.
Yeah, I guess it's a long-term project. Yeah.
But I mean, and it all has to be done through mime.
Yeah, I mean, that's also...
But I think, Andy, I love the ambition of this project. And I'm 98% on board. The only problem is having to go to Sydney for it.
Yeah. And I don't know if any of them actually do that window thing anymore. Do they still do that window thing? It feels like it's a liability.
Yeah, it feels like it's a real way of getting people writing swear words and things like that. They probably just close the curtains, can't they? Or...
I don't think they can.
No?
No. I think they took an oath.
We took an oath!
Have we got 5 sketch ideas, Alistair?
I think so. Yeah, look, before we go on to the other thing, I just wanted to give context to this... We're all the same height at our feet. Have you ever seen any of these Facebook things? These days, it's Goalcast.
I've blocked so many things on Facebook now that, like, it's weird. I got to this point where, like, it wasn't just things that annoyed me that were starting to annoy me. It was things that I liked were starting to annoy me on Facebook. The Onion. I don't know if I've blocked The Onion, but, like, any sort of thing that was, like, positive news stories, I was like, I can't watch any of this stuff. It's really winding me up. Anyway, sure. So I think I might have blocked Goalcast.
Goalcast is one of these ones where they've basically got all these people from these... Look, I don't actually know what it is, but this is what I've deduced they've got all these people from all these sort of, you know, these self-help kind of... The self-help world. All these people who are trying to be motivational speakers and stuff like that. And then they, you know, it's just them doing short sets. You know, but then it's kind of got an aesthetic to it.
That sounds exactly like something I would have blocked.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm amazed that this hasn't actually been parodied as much, or I haven't really seen it. But it's always somebody who seems like, you know, just a general gist of them. They kind of look like they've got their shit together. But then they're explaining something that really makes sense to you. If you just think about it that way. You know?
Yeah.
If you go... Well, when you think about it, we're all the same height at our feet, you know? And so maybe if you just metaphorically flipped your eyeballs for a second and looked at everybody where their feet was the top.
Yeah. Stop looking at how high up your head goes and look at how low down your feet are. And you see that we're all the same and we're all touching the same ground.
That's right. And...
Who cares about whose head gets wet first when it's raining? We are all walking through the same puddle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Are we? Some of us are walking on the ground.
Yeah, all right. That isn't wet.
But if it's a flooded area.
If it's a flooded area.
We're all walking through the same puddle.
Mm-hmm.
That puddle is our town.
Ankle height is the same for everybody. Anyway, something to think about.
Ankle height might not be the same for everybody.
It's the same for everybody.
Andy. Okay, we got 3 words from Patreon supporter Andy. Sam Shaw. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
I wonder whether it's Samuel Shaw. I'd like that.
Samuel Shaw is very fun to say.
Samuel Shaw.
He sounds like the start of a A.A. Milne poem or something like that.
Milne.
Samuel Shaw was closing a door, you know, that kind of stuff.
Before he went through the draw. He cared not for nothing. Below him was walking the legs of a man who had crows.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's what I was going to say. So
Samuel Shaw had hair on his elbows. Never before were they waxed. He jacked off a cow and he peeled down hair. And before that, he played on his sax.
Well, that one actually quite work quite well.
Crafty young Sam was a hell of a guy.
Hell of a man, surely.
Billowing smoke from his pores. But Jesus looked down upon old Shaw's nose and he said, "Well, Shaw man, you're closed."
Oh no, you ruined it again.
No. Anyway, improvised poetry. Do you want to know what Sam's... Why does it hurt so much, Andy?
It feels like there are rhymes that are there to be had.
I know.
And you... Like, there are fruits... Glistening, beautiful, ripe fruits dangling from boughs at easy picking height, yeah. And you are climbing to the top of the tree to eat a nest full of dead baby birds, Alistair. That's how it feels.
I think that's... No one's ever described my work so well. There was so much easy stuff you could have been doing. And you chose something that was very difficult. It doesn't seem rewarding for anybody. But there's an achievement in it.
There is an achievement. You're right. There's a double achievement, really. You know, it's like we talked about with Everest. You know, who cares? Climbing up to the top of a mountain that everybody wants to climb up to the top of? Doesn't sound that good to me.
Mm.
Climb up to the top of a mountain that nobody cares about.
Exactly. One...
What's with your eyes closed, so you can't even see the view.
The second lowest mountain.
Yeah. The second lowest.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not even... It's not the lowest, because there's almost an achievement.
Yeah.
All right, 11th lowest.
Perfect.
Look at that.
I want to know what
it's
is...
Not even
the,
top 10.
I do want to know what is the lowest mountain in the world. Somebody tweeted.
No.
Not about this, but anything.
Do we have a lot of mountaineers or mountain... Or what's like a person who studies mountains? Mountaineering?
Good point.
It's a person who eats mountains.
Mountain.
Send in an email so that you can bing in the, Andy's pocket and tell us if you've ever eaten a mountain.
Bing my pocket.
What do you think is the most of a mountain that somebody's eaten? Do you think, I guess, it'd be somebody who's cultivated things and they've eaten a mountain through capsicums or whatever like that.
Yeah, it'd be some shit workaround like that. Know. I want to see a man eating mountain. I want fistfuls of rock and dirt.
Mm.
You know? That's what I expect when I click on the video, look how much of this mountain this man has eaten. Right? I don't want him just sitting down to a feast of capsicums.
That's absolutely a great video. This is exactly the kind of shit people would watch.
Yeah.
Right? This is the kind of thing you would block. Right, but it's
oh, because it's so inspiring.
It's inspiring.
It's such good news.
It's like, it's interesting. It involves an old man, and like people love that shit. And we're like,
oh, he's 95. Oh. His wife died 6 months ago, and since then he's dedicated himself to eating this mountain.
No, he's been doing it for the last 65 years.
Oh,
he's just
wow.
been eating a spoonful of mountain every day, just to see. You know, and at first he didn't like it,
not?
But now it's like, now he feels weird if he doesn't do it.
Mm.
So then some days he gorges. When he's emotional eating, he eats even more. And, you know, you could tell October was a big year for me because, you know, you could tell I was stressed because I really munched my way through
a lot of scree.
Scree, is that part of rock or something?
Scree is like a sort of a rock slide, like open rocky area.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really good. I was trying to search my brain for like what would be a part of a mountain, like a cliff face or a
sure,
you know, like what's like an overhanging rock, you know,
yeah,
like what would you call that?
You know, an overhang,
yeah, great,
yeah. I mean, scree kind of almost fits the
well, that's what I was saying. You probably achieved it, Andy. I wasn't trying to say that you were wrong in saying scree,
okay, good,
I was trying
Thank
to
you.
Say that I was trying to give you the parameters of what my search results
sure.
trying to pull up. Right, I'm just going to write down man eats mountain.
Man eats mountain. Yep. Sure.
Maybe he's not even the man who's eaten the most amount of mountain.
Because
then they just, when some, you know, just some American guy, he's not even a big fat guy. Mm. He's just a college guy, you know, who got into competitive eating. Right, early on, and then just found out that some guy was eating a mountain, and then just wanted to beat him at that, eating how much mountain he'd eaten, and then he just found some you know, he found the sister mountain to that guy's mountain.
Yeah, but I don't... I'm going to find it hard to root for that guy, you know? This Johnny-come-lately, he's got all this white privilege that makes it so much easier for him to eat mountains than it is for this guy.
I know, he's the barbecue sauce guy from Kong.
Yeah, the King of Kong.
Yeah, years later you'll find out that he's actually just been... You know,
pretending to eat the mountain, he puts it in his pocket.
He's putting the spoon past his mouth.
we should have suspected, because all the videos that he said of him eating mountain were all in profile. Mm.
All right, man eating mountain, inspirational video.
But also I think the expose in which we find out that the man who claimed to have eaten heaps of mountain turns out didn't eat.
Looks like we have a video series, Andy.
We've got what is fast becoming a series of videos.
Quite a dramatic series.
Mm. I had a thought about Edmund Hillary, and I'm sure somebody's made this as some kind of joke, and I'm not saying it's a well-formed joke now, but he climbed to the top of Mount Everest. He was also, his job was a beekeeper.
Yeah.
He was like an apiarist.
Yeah, right.
Damn dirty apiarist.
That's great. Tweet it.
Thanks.
Damn dirty apiarist.
They could have put that in the movie the Wicker Man, when they pour all those bees. They're holding Nicolas Cage down. They pour all those bees on his head.
I mean, you know? Look, all you need, just get, what's his name? What's the real guy who did it?
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston, and put him next to a beekeeper.
Mm.
You got yourself 55,000 retweets minimum.
Minimum. That's a hard minimum.
That's a hard minimum.
I think it sounds to me like he just wanted to get as far away as possible from bees. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think he just hated bees. People asked him why did you climb Everest? And he said, because it was there.
Well, did he say that?
Yeah, it was him. Oh, I reckon his real answer was fucking bees.
Bees, mate.
No, can I have another run at it? Because it was there.
Because
that sounds better. But really, it was the fucking bees.
You can see in that sentence, he didn't even use the letter B.
Yeah.
Oh, except for because. Actually, it starts with B.
Because. That's the secret message in that expression.
Because.
Alistair, that was such a great example of you. You being an idiot. That was like...
That's classic me.
That is classic you. That's up there with the three F's or whatever about fungus. I can't remember what it was you said. But boy, it's worth it just for those.
Andy, this is why I do the podcast.
Yeah.
So that I can reveal my true self.
We gotta get through this.
Samuel Shaw's.
Oh, we haven't. Have we even got his words?
No, we haven't used his words, so we can't even claim any of these stuff was inspired. I mean, we said his name.
Yeah, it was pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it could be Samwise.
Just read them out.
Anyway, Sam Shaw. He's almost got two Sams in his name as well. Because Shaw, S-H-A-W, is an upside down M.
Hey, and Shaw, which, by the way, if we have our way, that'll be X-A-W.
Wait. Oh, yeah, exactly. X-A-W. But then that would remove the double Sam.
Yeah.
Because he's got like a sort of like a two-thirds Sam the right way up, and then a one-third Sam upside down.
Mm. Yeah, that's good, Al.
And H is basically an invisible letter.
It is.
It's like the audio equivalent of wind of glass.
H, if you were to name any letter, it probably looks like the one that's just there for scaffolding. It even looks like a bit of scaffolding. Mm-hmm. It's just a structural thing to stop the S rolling over.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little bookend. You can lean the S up again, because the S is an unstable point of equilibrium.
Absolutely.
I don't think they thought about this when they were designing the letters. Another one where X is very good, by the way, as a brace.
Absolutely stable.
But the S, that's tipping over.
Yeah, S and 5, they're not great.
No, 5's worse. Yeah, 5's a disaster.
Mm, absolutely.
5 looks like it was designed to go up the other way. Yeah, when they're asking for trouble.
What does that 5 look like upside down?
You know, it's just, you know, it's got a nice flat bottom there.
But then it looks like a 2.
It does look a bit like a 2. Yeah. I suppose that's the problem.
Yeah, especially in a digital calculator, that wouldn't that wouldn't read.
That you wouldn't get away with that.
You wouldn't get away with it, yeah. All right.
The digital calculator people are going to be all over you. No, you can't do that. You can't turn the 5 upside down. Is it too late to turn the 5 upside down? Do you think we could get this up? We get this up, we talk to the UN or something like that. We're trying to get 2 to the 5 upside down. Do you think we could successfully get the 5 turned upside down before we could get any meaningful action on climate change? Like, it feels so much more achievable.
Yeah.
We get the whole world to unite on this cause. We're like, you know, we've got to do this. And, you know, there's people championing in the streets and we turn the 5 upside down and kids have a day off school and everyone's cheering and we're all gathered around the TV to watch them turn the 5 upside down, the big 5 that they have in Paris at the Institute of Numbers.
Yeah, they keep it under glass.
They keep all the 5s. They keep the one big 5, you know, and everyone, you know, is clapping and, you know, sailors and are kissing in the streets, that kind of stuff. I think we could get that up before climate change is a reality. And it would really take our minds off it as well. Get us a big win. We just need a few big, easy wins. Mm. Get our confidence up so that we can tackle these other things.
The only people really standing in our way is those digital calculators.
Calculator fuckheads. But I think that those digital calculators are on the way out anyway. It's all graphics calculators now.
Yeah, right. And they use like regular hand script kind of.
I think they have more detailed screens, so you've got the little dot, 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 dot. So you've got fonts.
Yeah, cool. That's nice.
Dot, 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 dot. You know what I'm talking about. Dot, 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 dot.
Yeah. Like
that kind of screen.
You're describing the
pixels.
Pixels.
Yeah.
So look, we're going to say Samuel Wise's words. You ready for them?
This has become a real form of torture for me.
Yeah, that's great. Why don't you unfollow me or whatever, block me?
Yeah.
Plants are silly.
Plants are silly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm hard-pressed to disagree with you there.
I mean, is there...
Get a fixed number of appendages. Limbs. Mm. Get a fixed number of limbs. You could just grow as many as you want.
They don't care, do they?
They don't give a shit.
But then some of them, they'll grow a flower and then they'll just never grow a flower again. I think orchids are a bit like that. I don't know. We had orchids. They didn't grow the flower back.
Oh, really? Our orchids just lost its flowers. And I was just having this conversation with Carly yesterday. We'll be like, will it grow another one?
Yeah, well, that's
because if it's not, what are we keeping those fucking leaves around for?
Keeping these stems.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know. But we kept it for probably a year. And I went, ugh, it doesn't look.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like one of those, like, you know, those that rotten meat flower that comes back every 10 years or whatever. Maybe it does.
Yeah, 10 years time.
Would you keep the orchid if you knew it was coming?
Look,
back
I'm
in 10
struggling
years?
To keep a standard plant alive for you know, the 3 months after I get given it for my birthday. You know,
your birthday's coming up though.
Coming up.
Anyway, that's what I was gonna say was: what is like the funniest like plant? Like, is there sort of a plant that's naturally fun that uses humor to attract, like, to spread its seed?
Yeah, like a sort of a stand-up plant.
Yeah, or like...
Well, I mean, I guess there's those ones that sort of do impersonations, right? But do you consider that to be comedy?
Well...
You know, like those ones that look like a bee or look like a wasp or whatever.
Yeah.
They're orchids again a lot of the time, aren't they? They've got those flowers.
So then they get bees to come and sort of try to have sex with them?
Like birds or something like that.
It's a prank flower.
It's a prank.
Yeah, that's prank.
Pranks. Yeah, I mean,
no, but
I guess...
like, are they getting bees to have sex with them?
Yeah.
Do you think they laugh when they like... Like when it happens, they go.
Well, they stick some pollen on them, that's a classic prank thing to do, sort of throwing flour over someone or something like that, isn't it? You know, a classic prank.
Absolutely. So it's just a biologist kind of, like, it's your classic nature documentary, but instead of looking at marmots that live underground or whatever, we're looking at nature's funniest plants.
Or they discover that plants can laugh, You know, sure. They're listening really closely or something. And they find that we find that this is it. Well, they've got a sense of humor.
We could start with, you know, plants that use humor to spread their seed, for example, pollen or whatever like that, and then keep progressing onto the ones, and then you find out that your plants are actually listening to you and laughing at you.
I think the different types of humor that different plants use would be pretty good. You know, because obviously the prank one is like a pretty low level, but then we get up, you know, to find some plants that do real confessional sort of stuff.
Well, there's this one, there's some gum trees that are out near my parents' place. Sort of, it's actually, you know, fairly far, but it's a good bit of walking anyway. Mm-hmm. And there's these gum trees that their branches have kind of curled. They curl down towards the ground. And then it looks like they punch the ground.
And they go on back up again.
And then they just take off, but then they kind of ride along the ground, go up and down a little bit like a wave. But what a funny tree. That's a tree with a good sense of humor.
Yeah, or a terrible sense of direction.
Yeah, but how much time would that have taken? Like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that time to dedicate to my comedy.
That's a commitment to a bit.
Yeah.
That's one bit that it's doing.
Hey, look at me. I'm being a snake. I'm going all the way around like
exactly.
That.
Exactly. I'm a snake.
I'm being like a dumb tree who doesn't know how to get to the sky. Mm. I'm going the opposite direction.
Yeah. So, look, I think...
It's sort of like an anti-tree. Or it's just like a... Yeah, I mean, I find that the funniest kind of... very often the simplest things that make me laugh the most are people being so stupid that it, like... It becomes very creative. You know, if you're finding it feels like I'm describing you in any way else, but if you're finding a way to be dumb that seems like it requires more work than just doing... I'm just talking about you again.
No, yeah.
But I find you very funny.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad that it's illusion.
It's only just kicked in recently, by the way. It was probably only around episode 162 that I got a single smile out of this podcast.
I want you to know that it's the illusion of me doing work in being stupid.
Yeah.
That's always been my aim.
Yeah.
But I've only recently achieved it. That's how stupid I really am. I haven't even been able to do it. But it's great that I'm making strides. So,
yeah, great strides.
I'm going to take us... through our
thanks
sketch.
Samuel Shaw, thanks for supporting us on Patreon, thanks for your three words.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry it took us so long.
Well, we came up with another two sketch ideas on the way.
Yeah, suppose so.
We got Christmas with the Cranks.
Just Christmas with the Crank.
Yeah, with the Crank. Sorry, Christmas with the Crank. And
did that just come off the word crank when we were talking about... Anyway, it doesn't matter. It came off talking about those fucking audio systems to do with strings and wires and bells in your house.
Yeah. And then we got Crank Speed. That's another Crank movie. This is the one where Keanu Reeves is riding on Jason Statham's back and he has to keep going a certain speed.
Yeah.
Or has to at least keep working.
Yeah.
That's what they could... Oh, no. Never mind.
It's got to be GPS based, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be GPS. So that treadmill idea won't work unless they do it in a truck.
Yeah.
So he can kind of keep running.
But then what would be the point, I suppose?
Well, so that they could dangle, they could lift Keanu
and
up
Keanu
a little
could
bit.
Be hanging off the roof of the truck.
Mm.
Yeah. Guess that's something. Anyway, this is all be really fun to explore on the, in, the, in the movie.
Or Keanu could be lifted up and then he could hold up Jason Statham for a while, let his muscles race while his legs kind of keep going, but they're dangling. He's in a truck dangling on the inside, and he's lift him up just to kind of give his poor back.
There's got to be pressure sensors in Keanu's feet though to make sure that he's not carrying any weight. I bet that would be the first thing I would think of if I was doing this.
But your idea was that he's just jumped on and he's like, now you're in this. You've just got to stay on.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. How would they get the sensors into his feet? Shoot them on with some kind of glue?
Unless they caught Keanu first and then they shoot him onto Jason Statham. But they lower him on.
He's out cold. He comes to, like, sort of jostling around and he hears this panting and his eyes slowly open. And he has to have all of this explained to him by Jason Statham, who's... you know, already been running for 12 miles and is full of hot dogs at this point.
How the movie opens?
Yeah.
It's just Jason Statham.
It's dark. We hear the panting and the grunting. I love it when you're dropped into the middle of the action, you know, and you learn about these things as time goes on.
It'll be crazy.
It's got an element of that movie Phone Booth to it.
Yeah. Single location. But this is like, instead of single location, it's roughly 500 locations.
Yeah, multiple locations. Yeah.
Unless he was just running in a circle, he could just go to a track and field.
Mm. Yeah, he could. No, he has to run somewhere new that he's never seen before. And it's Christmas.
It's Christmas with the crank.
Yep.
All right, then we got a sheep lover who tries to save face by becoming a war hero.
Yeah.
He's like, look, this is how I'm going to... This is the only way I can, you know, redeem myself, pull my name out of the dirt by actually getting into the trenches.
And I wonder if... Yeah. I mean, I think he could become one of the greatest people who's ever lived. You know, they cure all sorts of diseases.
Mm.
You know, they achieve incredible peace, progress in all sorts of war-torn areas.
Imagine even
but it's not enough for us.
We're not, yeah, no, for us, you just, you know.
Yeah.
You have sex with one sheep. Maybe someone's got to...
No, he didn't have sex with one sheep, though. He had sex with, like, 120 or something.
Yeah, right. And is there a video for each one? Because, it would only really last, I think, if there was a video. and YouTube refused to take them down.
Pixar, it didn't happen. Yeah, no. It slipped through the filter. The filter. Yeah, it apparently didn't violate the terms of YouTube's terms of service.
All right, well, we're all the same height at our feet.
Mm.
So we try to flip everybody's eyeballs.
Super meaningful. Flip them balls.
Yeah, it's going to be a good on goal cast, I think. Then we got the trying to get a penis shown on the news. This is the MRA. Men's rights activists. But this is really more like, you know, it's definitely the story about one man who is probably the men's best chance at getting a penis shown on the news with how flat it got after... Dropped under that
if we picture. Can't get this penis onto the news,
we may never. They've just got their ear to the ground, always listening for, you know, like they're just listening to. You know,
they've got their ear to the ground, their penis to the paver.
They're just, you know, they're trawling Twitter for any kind of, you know, citizens' news to see if they can.
Oh, for sure.
Get something that can get on the MSM.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever use that acronym, MSM?
Never do.
Then we got a man eating a mountain inspirational video. Just a man, he's been eating a mountain. He's eaten the most amount of mountain as did anyone.
And it turns out he didn't really eat it.
What?
Yeah, because he was pretending to put it into his mouth.
No, that's the other guy.
Oh, sorry, Alistair.
This guy really has been the old guy. The guy that we love. The one who's the genuinely, like, who's just been doing it for a long time, 65 years over time. And he's made huge, you know, he's made a huge achievement. It seems like less than this other guy's done in 3 years. But we find out this other guy's a fraud.
Yeah, he's a fraud. And then we find out that the other guy's a fraud as well. They're all frauds. Yeah. Everything you believe in is a lie.
Or maybe we find out that he had sex with sheep. See?
See, there's a twist.
You could have a huge achievement like that. Isn't it crazy? You could have a huge achievement like having eaten the better part of a mountain.
What an achievement.
Right.
What a huge achievement. And not as capsicums.
Not as capsicums, like some trick. Anybody could eat endless capsicums.
Oh, this guy's eating a bunch of capsicums. No thanks.
Yeah.
Click, switch it off. That was me clicking away as opposed to clicking on the thing.
Yeah, but also, that would be so hard to eat a lot of a mountain through doing that because most of the matter of a vegetable comes from the air rather than the dirt.
Well, the air and the water.
The campaign to turn the number 5 upside down before...
We fix climate change.
Yeah, before meaningful action on climate change could be done. And then
get
also
some runs on the board.
We got the nature documentary on the funniest plants.
Yeah. Great.
Ooh.
What a breathtaking range of sketches.
It was a real range. Yeah. I mean, there's two inspirational ones, but I guess even within that, there's a lot of variety.
We are yawning way too much. We got to get off this train.
All right.
You know? So, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You know,
well, yeah.
your podcast receivers.
You've done such a good job.
This was all done with bells.
Yeah, this whole thing.
Gathering around the bell.
Did we
even talk about this on this podcast?
I can't remember if this one
or some other one that we attempted. I'm really sorry if...
we call back to things that we never talked about. I mean, it must be if we're talking about Christmas with the Crank.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Surely.
If Crank ye see, then bells there be.
If a crank on your pad is something you notice, open up your mouth and you will have inside you a new distraction. Well, that's not what's open for action.
These podcasts are getting longer as well. They're getting longer, Al.
Oh.
And we keep adding segments like the George band name segment. Anyway, because we're recording these in advance and we haven't had any more emailed in, so I don't have anything else to reveal this episode. So if you're tuning in just for the George band name segment, sorry, you'll have to wait a couple of weeks.
But if you want to review us on iTunes, that's a wonderful thing.
It's a great thing to do while you wait for the George band name segment.
If anybody ever wants to support us on Patreon, that isn't a thing that is available to you. You can go to patreon.com/twointank and you can give us a little bit of money, or you can give us $3 and that gives you the King's Ear. Allows you to send in three words that will come up with a sketch, or you can send in $8 and it gives you access to the two extra episodes per month.
Damn straight.
And so, also...
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And I'm at Alistair TB, and we're at Two and Tank.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.